Well, that's great. Well, for this week, we're going to be talking about the temptations. So we're going to start here in, we're going to start in Matthew 4 is where we're going to be at. But does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Yes, repentance. Yeah, repentance. And we talked about it was John the Baptist, and he was baptizing and preaching repentance. And then we went into where we talked about the Holy Spirit's going to baptize you with Spirit with fire. And we kind of went on a little bunny trail there and talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit and what he does today and that type of thing. So the repent and be baptized. That was John the Baptist's message. Does anybody remember what it means to repent? It was a long definition.
To agree with God.
To change the way you think about God.
Yeah, to have a change of mind and heart about God. Yep. About ourselves.
To agree with God. I'm reading my notes.
Good. Yeah, that's great. Yep. Yeah, we should have a. So what it means to repent should be a more of a change of mind and heart about who God is and about God. We should worship only Him. Then also have that same change of mind and heart about ourselves, that we are sinners, recognizing that we sin. And then have a change in heart about our sin itself, that's the sin that we commit, any sin is an offense directly against God. So those would be the three main things, a change of mind, recognizing those three things. What was the purpose why people were coming to John the Baptist to get baptized? Anybody remember that one? Well, they had a... John the Baptist and them had... his message was repentance. And they were identifying with John's message that they needed a Savior. That they needed... forgiveness for their sins, and so they were trusting God that He was going to soon send the deliverer. What about who were the scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees?
Religious groups.
And
the Sadducees.
And what did they rely on?
They did not believe in the resurrection.
So they didn't believe. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrections. The Pharisees were of the wealthy elite in society. And then the scribes. So they based on all their faith that they were in good works and a genetic connection to Abraham. So they went back to that. Why didn't Jesus need to repent though before he got baptized?
Because he wasn't born.
He wasn't born a sinner.
He wasn't born a sinner, right. He wasn't born from the seed of Adam like you and I are.
Right.
So he had no need for a repentant heart. All right, so in this lesson we're going to look at Satan. We're going to look at him again. We looked at him at the beginning, but we're going to look at him a little bit. And let's see. And so, who is Satan? And what is he to God?
Satan is Lucifer.
Yes. He's Lucifer. Another name for Satan.
Then he, which was an angel.
Yep.
Yes, he was an angel. Mm-hmm. Right, like many gems or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was adorned. Yeah,
adorned.
He had.
He was one of the. He was the top. He was in the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he was the highest angel.
Hierarchy.
Yep, and he. What does he think of God? Or every time he sees you and me, what does he think of?
That's what he thinks of.
Yeah, he sees God. So what does that make him do, though? Towards God. Does he love God?
No.
No.
What, do you think he hates God, though?
I think he's jealous.
You're right. He thought he could be as good as God.
Right. And what about Satan? Do you think he is God's friend or his enemy? Enemy, right. He's the opposite. He's not. God calls us friends. He doesn't call Satan his friend. He's his enemy. So he hates God. He hates man. He hates us. That's why he's constantly trying to get at us. And that's because we're created in God's image. And what does it mean to be created in God's image? We have the same face and same hands and feet that he has?
No.
No. What do we have that God has? Yes, you got it right. You got it. Mind,
spirit.
Mind, will, and emotions, like God does, which we have the spirit and soul, and that makes up our body, right? If you take the spirit away, we die. If we take the soul away, we die, right? And we have emotions just like God has emotions. So we're made in God's image. And from the very beginning of creation, Satan is against God. So, what caused Satan to fall from heaven, or for God to kick him out? What did he do? He wanted to be like God, right? He tried to take God's place. He wanted to push God aside and assume that role. And
God saw into his soul, spirit.
Right. Yep. God knew that, and God had a plan. Yep, he saw right into it. He kicked him out of heaven. He said, "Okay, you're gone." And then all the angels that rebelled with Satan were kicked out as well. Became Satan's.
It's funny how we bring this up. As my friend Walker, mm-hmm. we're having a similar conversation today. He goes, "Well, where is Satan's interpretation of this? Where is his story?" We hear God's story. We don't hear his side of the story.
No, we just see it every day. We do. We see it every day. Just tell him to look around at the world around us, and we see his story, what he's done. I mean, it's not hard to see. Just tell him to drive down through Seaford or some of these areas that are really struggling right now with some pretty heavy heroin addiction, you know, that's going on. I mean, it's creating a huge epidemic in these areas.
No, that you wouldn't. I don't think you'd have a story directly from Satan to man, because God, he spoke to religions. Mm-hmm. Satan wouldn't do that.
Right. That's true.
He spoke to Eve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. He can speak to people, but in order to speak to Eve, he had to turn himself to make him look like what?
A serpent.
A serpent. Right. What are some of the ways that, okay, if you remember back, what happened right after the Garden of Eden? What did Satan do by trying to cut off the line of the deliverer? Do you remember some of the stories that we talked about right at the beginning where Satan tried to stop the line of the deliverer? We're in Matthew 4, by the way. Oh, yeah, that was right. Yep. Yeah. He had tried to have Jesus destroyed when he was a baby. Yeah, that was one of them. But go way back to the beginning.
The beginning of the line.
Yeah. Where was the beginning of the line? Do you remember where that took place? You had Cain and Abel. And Abel was killed. Right. And Cain killed Abel. And then God had to raise up Seth, where the line started to fall through. So he had Cain kill Abel, making sure that Abel's line was destroyed because he followed God. And then he caused Pharaoh to wipe out all the Israelites, you know, to try to all the male childs 2 years and younger. So he began to do that. And then you can go through all the way out through, and you can begin to see where Satan tried to influence God's decision for the deliverer, how that was going to take place. But every time, God won, right? Thank goodness. Now, let's read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And I want you to think about the wording in this verse. Just read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Someone want to read that?
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Okay. So in this verse, why do you think the Spirit led Satan or led Jesus into the wilderness?
See how strong his will was?
Okay, well, let's see what happens here. So, what's the other name for Satan in here?
Devil.
Why do you think he's called devil? Okay, we'll come back to that. What about what was the result of Adam yielding to Satan's temptation back in the garden? What happened? Did I just say that wrong? I'm sitting here thinking I said that
wrong.
I said what was the result of Satan?
Right.
What I meant to say, what was the result of Adam yielding to Satan's temptations? I think I reversed it there. We'll find out.
God's wrath.
God's wrath, yes. And what else did Adam experience?
Death.
Right. So because Adam yielded to Satan's temptations, all of Adam's descendants and lineage, even us today, mm-hmm. are experiencing death. So if Satan succeeded in getting Jesus to sin, who would Jesus be under? Let me ask that question. If Satan succeeded in getting Jesus to sin, whose control would Jesus be under?
Satan's,
right. Just like Adam was. I mean, that's kind of not a tricky question, but it's a question that makes you think, because, wait a minute, Jesus is God in man's flesh, right? And so how could God himself be under Satan? If you really think about it. But Jesus was a man here on this earth, and so if he yielded to Satan's temptations and rebelled against God as Adam did, Jesus would no longer be able to fulfill his mission as a deliverer. That would be absolutely no hope for Adam and his descendants. So why do you think the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Hold that thought. Let's read verses 2 through 3.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread."
No, right there. That's good. Why did Jesus get hungry?
Oh, yes.
That's right. Anybody here fast for more than like a day or two?
A day.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you have a medical procedure. They tell you don't eat anything for 24 hours. I'm telling you what, I get pretty hungry, you know, even after 24 hours, let alone 40 days and 40 nights. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Remember that word number 40 keeps coming back up. And then Satan goes in there and he says, the devil, or Satan, and he came and says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Why did Jesus have the power to perform such a miracle? Why did the devil, or Satan, say, "Here, take these stones and turn them into bread"? Why would Jesus have the power to do that?
Because he is the Son of God.
That's right. Yes, because he's the Son of God, he is God.
And all the miracles that he performed.
Right. Well, he hadn't performed any miracles up to this point. Yeah, so it said at this point he hadn't started his ministry. We'll get to that one next week, or not next week, but the following week. But yeah, he hadn't done any miracles just yet. Yes, yep. So Jesus refused to do what Satan wanted because God the Father had said to go into the wilderness and be tempted of the devil. And why else wouldn't he turn these stones into bread?
would he?
Yeah, why didn't he? Why didn't Jesus do that?
I mean, the way he didn't have to. I mean.
But he was hungry. So now, let me play this.
Okay, is he fat? Well, if he's fasting, then that would be
feet. Yeah, but so he's 40 days and 40 nights. Mm-hmm. He's in this wilderness, and he's literally starving because, I mean, after 40 days and 40 nights, your body goes into a shutdown mode where you will die if you don't get some food into your body. So people can literally fast and live for 40 days without food. But once you get after that, your body, your organs begin to shut down.
Yes.
So here's Jesus. He is hungered and famished and maybe get to the point where I would picture myself, you start seeing food everywhere. You
delirious.
And yet, he did not turn the stones into bread, even though we just said that he did have the ability to do that because he is God, and he's God's son. So, why didn't he do that?
That's what he wants son to do.
That's right. God didn't tell him, go turn those stones into bread. See, Jesus was here on a mission with obedience for his father. He was told, that's one of the things he said, I am going to be that. So even though Jesus could, and he had come to earth as a man, he had submitted himself to his father's instruction and obedience. And so he was placing himself under his father's will. And so if he did turn those stones into bread, he would be listening to Satan, giving in to it. And Satan wasn't his father. So he went on his continued on his way to stand underneath that. So in Matthew in verse 4 it says this. Let's see what happens. Verse 4.
Mm-hmm. But he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by the bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
So Jesus, the thing that was most important to Jesus was obeying God's word. Because it says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus quoted a verse from the Old Testament. So remember this. Remember that part right there, that Jesus used an Old Testament verse that would have been part of his training or teaching as a young boy. And he would have been taught the scripture. And he quotes from the verse. And what is he saying here, though? What's that? Life is more important than food, or food's more important than life, or what's Jesus saying there? What do you think?
Well, when he says that man shall not live by bread alone, he's also received. Well, I know what I want to say, so, mm-hmm. but I hate that I'm trying to explain it. I can, okay, if we're speaking about us,
mm-hmm.
food isn't going to sustain our spiritual.
That's right. Exactly. That's exactly what we're looking for. It's not about the food. Everybody needs food to live. We do. If we don't have anything to eat, we will die. But what Jesus is saying here and what he's trying to convey is that God knows that Jesus needed that bread to live. But what was more important to him was everlasting life. What was more important to him was that food that was going to give him or give us eternal life. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, yes, we know that. People do not just live by bread alone. That people need that truth that brings us everlasting life. And so Jesus was saying that. So, when we think about that our body's nourished, we also have to have our spirit and our soul nourished. And only Jesus can do that. Satan tried to get Jesus to do something spectacular next. Let's see what it says to prove that God would take care of him. Let's read 5 and 6.
Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you.
Mm. So he takes Jesus to a high place. You remember, Jesus in the wilderness.
Right.
And all of a sudden they're whisked to a temple.
Exactly. It's not like Jesus in the wilderness. He takes him to this high place in the temple, right? To the highest place of the temple. And what then, what does it say? Jesus, what does Jesus say? I mean, not Jesus. What does Satan say?
If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down.
And the very next phrase.
For it is written.
For it is written. What's Jesus, what's Satan quoting?
Old Testament.
Old Testament. Satan knows the Bible, don't he? You ever think about that? Satan knows the Bible. He knows the... He can quote. However, Satan did not quote all the scripture.
Right.
And he twisted it.
Right.
Let me read to you the actual verse and see if it matches what Satan said there. Get to it. Here's what the actual verse says. This, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. He was not talking about jumping off of a building and catching, and the angel will catch you. And, you know, that's not what he was referring to at all. So why would Satan take him to the top of a temple and say, jump off, because you know the scripture says this. You ever take something and just, you know this is over here, and you just twist the truth just a little bit, just to make it sound more pleasing and acceptable to someone? I mean, you ever done that as a kid, telling a lie? You just... turn the story just a little bit, you know, and that doesn't come out as quite as bad. You remember the story I told you about the screws in the with the refrigerator a few weeks ago or a month or so ago? Well, I wasn't lying, but I did lie. I twisted it just to make it so that I didn't...
That stud's in there somewhere.
Yeah, the stud's there. I got one stud, but he acid all those screws. And I twisted it a little bit. That's what it means when here's what Satan's doing. That Satan knew all about God. He had full knowledge that God had forbidden Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit, and he twisted thing. Did not God say
right. This?
No, God didn't say that. He twisted it even back in the Garden of Eden. That what does that confirm to us? That Satan back in the Garden of Eden is the same Satan devil that is you're tempting Jesus, right? That he's a what? Satan's a liar and a deceiver, right? That's all he's out. All through history, his tactics never change. And even today, they don't change. Have you ever heard this? How many people would you have heard that said this? They don't believe in God because he was not there for them when they needed him. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Sure. Yeah, we've had that on. My response, or we shouldn't need miracles to prove God's existence, do we? Do you believe God exists without having seen a miracle? We wake up every day. We see creation around us. What else? What else have we got? We've got this. What's this?
His story.
His story, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. It's his written testimony, his history to us. And yet people still refuse to believe that there is a God. Why does God exist?
What was that?
Why does God exist?
If I could answer that, I'd be God, wouldn't I?
Well, okay, so don't answer that. Just, Does he exist for our convenience?
Does he exist because we exist? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Is God existing today for our convenience or for our benefit? Does God need you, John?
No.
He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything, right? He's God. Right? And in essence, if we could answer that question, like Josh was saying, then we would be like God. And we would be God. And because of that. But God doesn't exist for our convenience. He doesn't need us. And so let's read what Jesus answered to Satan by quoting again from the Old Testament. Verse 7.
Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God."
So what did he tell Satan? So it's the second time, right? We have two times now Jesus used the Bible to combat Satan's temptation, right? Let's see what happens in 8 through 9.
Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship."
All right, he didn't quote any scripture this time. Wonder why not?
He's getting desperate.
Well, because he knew Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Yes. He picked up that Jesus understood that I was not giving in to my twisting in scripture like Adam and Eve did back in the Garden of Eden. But he does something here that is very interesting. He takes him to a high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. So now, I don't know what this means or where this mountain, what the highest mountain was and what that looked like, but he shows him all the kingdoms of the world at that time.
An exceedingly high mountain.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. And he sees all the kingdoms of the world, and he offers them to Jesus. How come Satan can do that?
That's his realm, isn't it?
That's his pride.
Yeah.
Huh? It says here, "I will give you all, I will give it all to you." In other words, you see that, all you have to do is kneel down and worship me. So all Jesus had to do was kneel down and worship him, and Satan would have given him all the
worldly goods.
All the kingdoms of the world Jesus would have been in charge of. Now, why could Satan do that?
Because he's in charge. Because God's in charge.
Right.
God cast him down.
That's right. And he is now the ruler of this world, right? So remember which world we're living in. We're not living in God's world. We're living in God's creation. God created this. But God doesn't rule the earth. Satan does. And Satan's able to say, "Hey, I'll give you this all." So if Satan comes to you and says, "Hey, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world," all you have to do is bow down and worship me. He was well within his right to do that. This is it. God didn't cast him to hell. God cast him to the earth.
He didn't have to make good on that promise anyway. Because
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's right.
Once it was done, it was done.
It was done, right? So if Satan could have gotten Jesus, the Son of God, to bow down and worship him, Satan would have succeeded in his plan to thwart the deliverer, right? He would have taken it away. What does Jesus here do in response to Satan? Verse 10.
"Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve."
Okay. It is written. Get behind me.
So
you must worship.
These are Old Testament that they're going back and referring to.
Yeah, because Matthew, Mark,
right.
Luke, and John hadn't, and Acts and all that hadn't been written. So So everything that Jesus is quoting is found in the Old Testament. You must worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. And do you think Satan gave up after that? Yep, he does. The devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. So they began to minister, verse 11 there. So Jesus defeated Satan by quoting God's word and obeying God's word. So Jesus is an example we should follow, right? We always say that, hey? So how many of you, and don't raise your hands or you don't have to say it, how many of you, whenever you're tempted to do something wrong, immediately think of a scripture verse that you know deals with that temptation and begin to quote it? You ever done that? You don't have to answer that question unless you feel comfortable to do that. But I can speak for myself and say, hey, every time I'm tempted, I don't sit there and think, well, let me see what the Bible says and quote it. But Psalms 119:11 says this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." David was saying, hey, look, I hide God's word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. Jesus did the same thing. He hid God's word. He hid the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the history of the deliverer coming, of himself coming. And he hid that in his heart so that when Satan came, he used the very thing that God gave to man to combat against Satan and his temptations. And I think it's very important that we remember that's one of the things why it's important for us to know God's word and what it says. Because if we don't know that, then how do we combat Satan when he comes at us? I mean, if Jesus needed to quote scripture in order to overcome Satan's temptation, I think I need to really have maybe two or three scripture verses or something to quote, because I'm not God. You know what I mean? And so when you think about that, not only was he doing it, but he was also obeying God's word. Because each time he said, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Jesus recognized that the only person I'm supposed to worship is God. He's the only person, the only being that I'm supposed to worship. Because Jesus is God and he has the final authority over Satan. That would be another reason. Can Satan ever win this fight against God and the deliverer?
No.
Nope. You sure about that? Okay. You got it right, Scott. Satan's never going to win. So we have this man's view. This is a depiction of here. We've got the battle of good and evil. Right and wrong. And we live in this world, in this realm, today. And all the movies that you watch almost always depict a good and an evil. Mm-hmm. A good and an evil. And there's always this battle. And even as I look at things that are going on in our world around us today, you weigh the good and the bad. And you got the scales, those balancing scales there. That's how man sees it. That's how we see it. And when you look at this battle, where is it taking place at? Not in a place like in a specific not in a specific realm of, okay, this is taking place here in Jerusalem, where they're at, Bethlehem or whatever. I'm talking about this place here. This is a horizontal playing field, right? It's on a level, we're on a ground, level ground there. The man's view, we see this stuff like this, horizontally. It's good, evil, it's here. That's not how it is. That's not how God sees it. God's view of the battle of good and evil is a vertical battle. A battle between, yes, good and evil. But it's God and Satan. It's here and here. And so if you look at that, this picture of God up here, this is a cool picture. Matter of fact, I might use this in my sermon next week. If I can still let me use this picture on the screen. I don't know if I can. If I can do that, I have to look at the rules on using it. But I just love the picture of here is God fighting against the evil, the world, the Satan. Satan and his forces. It's a vertical battle, not a horizontal battle. And so when you see that, the forces of darkness, and that's why it says in Ephesians, for man doesn't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and darkness in spiritual wickedness in high places. So our battle is not against each other. It's against Satan and all his forces in the spirit realm, the spirit world.
My question is, so why didn't he just put an end to it altogether?
Why didn't Jesus put an end to it right then and there with Satan?
Why didn't he just put an end to it and just crush evil then and there? Unless one can't live without the other. I don't, you know.
Well, that's a good question. Let's go back to what God said. The penalty or the punishment for sin is what?
That is death.
Is death. So, and if Jesus was there on the mountain, and Jesus could have easily killed Satan, defeated Satan right then and there, the devil,
right.
He could have just wiped him out.
But Jesus was in man form, so couldn't Satan have just done the same thing, took a boulder or whatever,
crushed him,
or
possibly, yeah. Possibly could have, but also Jesus,
I think he knew better because the consequences would have been pretty dire.
And he had tried to do that with when Jesus was a little boy with the Egyptian. I mean, with Herod coming and wiping out, Jesus fled to Egypt with his parents, or his parents fled in Egypt. So Satan has done that. He has tried to crush and deter God's plan and purpose. But Satan ultimately knows that Jesus came to fulfill the will of his Father, which was to pay the price.
Right.
So that price that the deliverer had to pay had to be a perfect lamb, without spot, without blemish, without sin. And so if Jesus would have took out Satan there and just wiped out Satan, could Satan's death solve evil? You're shaking your head and answering. Why not?
Because Jesus had to die for us.
That's right. The perfect sacrifice had to pay the price for man's sin. And Satan, he was a sinner, right? He fell from heaven. He had pride. Jesus had not committed a sin. And well, we'll find that out as he go forward. We know what happens to Jesus now. But as a deliverer, that penalty had to be paid for. That was something that God commanded back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. He said, okay, I will prepare a way. I will send a deliverer to pay the price. And that's why till the deliverer came, they would offer sacrifices as we learned about. And so if Jesus would have just wiped out Satan, the evil would still be present. If Jesus never died to pay that, that evil is still present. That doesn't answer the question, why is there still evil today? I mean, if Jesus defeated death, defeated Satan when he died on the cross and paid the price, why is there still evil today?
Well, would that be true, though, if there would still be evil if Satan was gone? He's the ruler of the world, and we're sinning because he's putting that evil in us. Would we be sinners without him? Yeah, would we be perfect without him?
Why
are you Adam and Eve?
Well, wait a minute. But go back. I think you just answered your own question. Uh-huh. Where did the sin come from?
We came from Satan.
Free will.
No, I wouldn't say the sin didn't come from Satan. Does Satan make you sin? So when you do something wrong, or you know you do something wrong, is Satan making you do that?
No.
No, he's not. Who's making you do that?
Ourselves.
Right. And where does that come from?
It's from free will. Mm-hmm.
Comes from the free will, the free choice. However, you're born with that sin nature in you.
Yeah.
Now that first sin back in the Garden of Eden plagued man from there on. So if you think about that even if Satan was wiped off, let's just assume that Jesus here wiped Satan out when he was tempted. Said, you know what, that's it, I'm done with you, I'm going to kill you. Wiped you out. Unless Jesus still went on to die for our sins on the cross, mankind would still have lived in that sin, the sin nature. The sin would still stay with us. Now, that being said, that free choice is still there. That free will is still active.
Yeah.
Because even though Jesus died, he paid the price. We now have to move on and accept that.
So did Adam and Eve have free will before Satan tempted them?
Well, yes.
So if he had never been here in the first place, then they would never sin.
If Satan never fell from
heaven,
he sure
tempted them. Yeah.
Correct. But then Adam and Eve would have been, they would have free will because they had God put the garden in Eden, but you know, the two trees, tree of knowledge of good and evil, tree of life. And he told them you can eat the tree of life, but you can't touch that good and evil tree. So he gave them a choice.
So Satan was on the earth before the garden?
That's a very good question. I don't know if Satan was on the earth before the garden was created or not. We do know that Satan fell from heaven when he saw God create man. We do know that.
Okay.
So whether he was walking on the earth or whether he was kicked out of heaven, but we do know that Satan fell from heaven.
Yeah.
God kicked him out. And why did he? Why was he? Why when he saw God create man? Why did he get so?
Because God admired man.
And man is created in his image. Satan is not created in God's work. Yeah. Satan is not created in God's image. Neither is any of the angels. Only you and I are.
Correct.
And so when he saw that, and all the angels that were there that saw that rejoiced, it says. They rejoiced over when God created man. Just like when a person here on earth today chooses to follow Jesus, the angels rejoice. They see a soul who said, hey, I'm joining the right side. I'm joining. But this is, in my mind, again, I'm speaking in my mind here. In my mind, this picture here depicts more than what we really, really understand. If we could see the battle that's going on for a man's heart and soul between God and Satan in the spirit world, the spirit realm, I think we would see something that we would be totally blown away by. Because, I mean, we are in this section, and it's really hard for us to get out of this area. Everything we see, from the politics that we just came through with the elections, mm-hmm. to everything we do in life, we tend to look at it through these eyes. Mm-hmm. It's Democrat versus Republican, or Libertarian mm-hmm. versus this, or the Tea Party over here. It's this horizontal playing field that we see, and so it pits us against each other. That's not what God sees. And he sees, here is his view. Now, if we were all to live with this view in mind, I think the earth would be a lot better place to live in. But we don't live with that. And most people who don't even believe in a God or believe that, they would reject this view. And it would be very hard for them to grasp that view. But God tells us over and over that it is not ours. And that's why when you and I choose to follow Jesus, we are considered strangers and pilgrims. We're aliens in this world. Because this is not God's world.
I butt heads with that view every day.
Yeah, exactly. You wherever you work at, and you run into that, and then you question yourself, well, if I'm not of this world, then I shouldn't do this. I mean, to be honest with you, the elections came, and for many years I have thought, you know what? I don't need to vote. You say, why the hell are you not voting? Because I always thought, and I would always use the verse when someone said, why don't you vote? Well, because I'm a pilgrim and stranger in a foreign land, and I don't need to be a part of this.
Yes, but God placed you here. You need to vote. It's your right. It's freedom. You know, you do. Okay, I can agree with that. But I'm a stranger and pilgrim. Why do I need to vote? It's not my kingdom. My kingdom's up there. My job is to bring as many people from here to this viewpoint and move them to that direction. And that then they, you know, and so there's that struggle. And again, that's me going back here looking like this, living in this realm, right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was doing. I'm living in that realm, that view, that I am on that horizontal playing field.
Well,
we're going to be great again. Huh? So when you sit here and you see this, let's read what happens.
In verse 11, it says, "Then the devil left and went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. So God sent his angels to give him food and restore his strength and to minister to him." I just picture this Jesus sitting there on a rock. He's famished. He just went through these three temptations. And believe me, there was more temptations. I personally believe
boxing ring was back in his corner.
Yeah, because Jesus is said to have gone through everything and tempted every which way we have been. In other words, he had to identify with me. I've never fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The devil's never took me to the top of the mountain and said, "Hey, I'll offer you all this." He's never put me at the top of the temple and said, "Drop off and I'll, you know, Jesus will catch you. His angels will catch you." And he's never said, "Turn these stones in their bread." I've never been tempted like that. So how can Jesus be tempted the way that I've been tempted unless he went through other things than this? However, if you look at each three of these temptations, what do they deal with?
The written word.
Like power and things like that, show as well.
Ah. You and I have never been tempted. You've never been taken to the top of the mountain, right? And said, "Hey, Clavon here, just worship me and I'll give you this whole, all this," right? But there are things, if you look deeper into the temptations that are here, they deal with different things. They deal with the physical, they deal with the spiritual realm, and they deal with your soul, body, soul, and spirit. They deal with those things. Your flesh. Your flesh needs to eat. Ah, great. I love cheesesteaks. Pour them on. I can eat cheesesteak every night or pizza, right? Let's go. What would happen to me if I did that? Huh? I would be paying for it. But I, you know, and so the temptation could be there. These are not just temptations as in here. They deal with also, you know, the lust of the eyes. Oh, just have the whole world, man. All at your fingertips, man. We deal with the same style of temptations, maybe not in this context, but we deal with them. Money, wealth, power, you name it, you can go on and on. Who are you supposed to worship? The Lord your God. You know, well, the temptation to worship other things, to follow after other things, that's there. It's very, very real. So Jesus went through that. So even though Satan left, however, do you think Satan gave up? No, he didn't give up. We will see as we go through Jesus' ministry over and over and over again how Satan tries to undermine what Jesus is here to do. And but Jesus always obeyed his Father, right? Did everything his Father was. And why is that so significant? That Jesus stayed on the right path and obeyed his dad. Why is his Father? Why is that so significant for us?
Because sin was paid.
Right. Yes, because if Jesus disobeyed one time, that's it. Because if Jesus followed Satan one time and yielded to his temptations, then Jesus would have been disqualified and paid for that price. To hopefully answer your question, Scott. That's why.
Satan very rarely tempts himself. He always uses a separate enemy or other people to do his bidding. To me.
That's right. Yes.
The last time he was a servant, that was him. You know,
yeah.
Now he's in tempting Jesus. Mm-hmm. But very rarely does he actually do something
physically himself.
Yes, the devil, right.
Mm-hmm. Hence the devil. Yeah. That's a very good bit. He changed himself into a serpent, and here he changed himself into the devil. That's a very good observation there, Scott. Very good. So here we are. The line of the deliverer. Right here. We're still in this section. We won't get to this. We're going to be in this section here for quite some time. Any last thoughts? Any final comments or thoughts or questions?
So would you consider Satan himself a sinner? The reason why I ask that, because if so, then sin existed before man.
That's a very good question, Brenda.
God saw in his heart or spirit that he wanted to be like him.
Yes. And then I could go one step further. If Satan is a sinner, then he has the ability to be saved because God came to die for the sinner, right? And we know that can't be true.
Well, he's not a sinner because, like you said, you know, he said he wanted to be like God. And that was what that would have been pride. And there was nothing out of that. That's his pride. It stopped with that. He didn't cause any sins. Beyond that, and pride in itself is wrong, but it's not a sin. Right? It's like the things that come from emotions like that that cause, like things that come from anger turn into sin, things that come from pride.
I have a little bit of. Seven things that the Lord hates, or you can read it different ways. Depending on the way the interpretation of the translation is written, it could say these six things that the Lord hates, and yea, the seventh one is an abomination to the Lord. Or you can read it and say these are seven things that are an abomination to God. And the very first one that is listed there is a proud look. God is an abomination to God. It's disgusting to him. In other words, the word abomination means almost as like a rotten carcass laying alongside the road. If you ever see a deer or something laying and it's bloated and swollen and starting to be, that's what it's in the eyes of God. That's the description that it's given. That it is an abomination to God. That he hates it so much. It's disgusting to him like that.
That's where
what was the sin that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden that caused them to fall out of God's presence?
They wanted to be like God.
They wanted to be like God, which is the same thing that Satan wanted, right? And they disobeyed. They ate of something that God said, "Do not eat of this."
True, because if you do, here's what I'm saying: shot, you won't die.
Right.
He's dead.
And so that you're correct with one sense that pride is not a sin, because you and I, it's the actions of falling out on that pride that are sin. So I'll give you that. But at the core of every sin we do is pride. That's at the very core of it. Because when you and I do something that we know is wrong, we are in essence telling God, "I don't care about you. I'm going to do it anyways." In essence, that's what we're saying. So pride is what triggers us to do that.
So I'll give you that. I'll give you that. That pride may not be directly a sin unless you act on it.
Right. But even with pride, even if you don't act, even the thought of it, just to think it.
But, and that's what I'm struggling with, because you don't have to necessarily act on something to sin.
Pride comes before the fall.
So, but then he was a sinner then.
Yes, and that's why he's called the father of lies. He's the deceiver. He is the... but... Lord, I need some help here. Because if Satan is a sinner, Jesus came to die for sinners, right?
Does it ever say that Satan came to save?
There's no verse that I'm aware of that says Satan can't be saved. Here's where I think the difference. And maybe this will answer the question. Satan sinned, right? He rebelled against God. We would agree with that. He rebelled against God and said, hey, I want to be like God, so God kicked him out of heaven. What is the difference between you and I and Satan? We didn't get kicked out of heaven, but...
Right. Yeah.
What else? What is the difference between us and Satan?
Angels don't have...
His punishment was what?
His punishment was immediate. I mean,
his punishment was immediate. No, it's not. He's not done yet.
Yeah, but he can't go back to heaven and stay there.
No, but he's not dead yet.
He doesn't have to.
Not wiped out forever. Okay. Neither do we. We die a physical body death, but our spirits live on, our soul lives on forever. What were you going to say, Brad?
I'm saying spirit.
Yes. That's the difference between us and Satan. We are creating God's image with his body, soul, our soul, and spirit. We have mind, will, and emotions. We have the very image of God stamped upon us. Satan doesn't have that. Satan is a spirit being just like God is, an angel. You and I are not. And that's where I would say the difference is. Even though Satan sinned, all those angels and demons, they're going to perish, they're going to go into the lake of fire at the end. You and I will go into the lake of fire or one other place, which is heaven, if depending on which we choose. And that will be the difference between them. So God is giving us, because we're created in his image, an opportunity to select him over Satan. So I don't know if that answers your question or not about the sin part.
Well, he would have free will too to make that decision. If God created him to be just a robot for God, then he would have made a decision to sin against him. So any of the angels that happen, they can even still make that decision.
Well, there's a thought out there that before Satan fell from heaven, that they were free to choose.
They were free to choose which side they wanted to go to.
There is that thought out there that is that. Don't know if I could answer that one. But we do know that when God kicks Satan out of heaven, there was two sides. There's the good and there's the evil.
And they lost that choice.
And there is that thought there.
He lost a third of the angels when Satan was kicked out of heaven.
Correct.
So those angels at that point in time chose to go with Satan, and the other ones that didn't, they're not separated. They mm-hmm. neither one of them can make a choice to go back on the other side. It's done.
But mankind from that point on, when Adam and Eve fell, from that point on, we're plagued. And it's a plague that infects. You go through the whole Bible, the whole history of God, and you can see that plague there. Very good question, guys. I mean, I'm not saying I have all the answers, because believe me, I don't know how I could answer that one about that. I have a hard time. I have a hard time thinking that God changed, because God doesn't change. So I have a hard time thinking that God created the angels with the same ability that you and I have to believe in his son Jesus. Before he created Adam and Eve in his image. And then when Adam and Eve fell, or when Satan was kicked out of heaven, God changed his mind and said, now you angels can no longer. You're just my here to do what I want to do. I don't think that. You watch Star Wars, right? Anybody here watch Star Wars? Yeah, I think so.
I forgot to turn it off.